Coming up, we've got our first look at the new Moto X phone, plus a round smartwatch. Father Robert's here with an Acer convertible, and I'll take a second look at a camera I loved the first time around. Is it possible I could love it even more? It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code Before You Buy when you check out. Welcome to Before You Buy, the Twit product review show, where we take all the latest, greatest stuff, give it to our Twit family for a real-world review. And we've got a good one, one I've been waiting for a while. Andy Iannocco, who works, of course, at the Chicago Sun-Times, was in Chicago last week when Motorola introduced its new round Android Wear watch. A lot of people have been very intrigued by this watch because of its shape. Andy doesn't have a full review yet. He's only had it a few days, but we thought we'd ask him while he was down in Cupertino for the Apple event to take a look at the new Moto 360. Andy?
I'm Andy Iannocco of the Chicago Sun-Times for Before You Buy, and this is the Moto 360 Android Wear watch. All summer long, people who were at Google I.O. and who saw the LG watch and the Samsung watch were telling me, oh, no, the 360 is the one that people are going to want to have to wait for. Now we're done waiting for it, and man, was it worth the wait. Obviously, the big difference is that this is a round screen. Yes, okay, try not to pay attention to the fact that there's a little slice of screen underneath it that is not a screen. But I find that having used so many of these smartwatches before that are square, as soon as you find yourself with a round thing on your wrist, you interact with it in a much more homey way than you can with this computer that you had from Samsung that was on your wrist. I'm really liking it a lot. I was also pleased that on my wrist, now I'm a larger guy, and also I am a guy, and so it looks pretty good on my wrist. In photos and videos, it looked like it might be honking huge, and it is certainly large-ish for a man's watch, but it's certainly not ridiculous. I have been wearing it every hour of every day since I got it about 6 days ago, and not once has anybody ever, like, I've caught anybody staring, which is not what happened when I first tried Google Glass, let me tell you that. So I think that you don't need to worry too much about it being too big. On a lady's wrist, it's definitely a fashion choice. It will be up to you to decide whether it's a good choice for you, but yes, it will attract attention. Although I have been paying more attention to the sizes of watches that people wear these days, and I've been seeing some women with watches that are as big as this. The big thing that I really like about it, though, is this is the best expression of Android Wear. It does run the exact same features, the exact same functions, in more or less the exact same way as it does on any other Android Wear watch. But the fact that you've got this nice little touch button, meaning that you don't have to necessarily have skin contact with the screen in order to make it work, makes it a very more intimate experience. If you haven't used Android Wear before, what I really like about it is the fact that if you've used the Pebble smartwatches, you are looking at your destination device. Your destination is this wristwatch, and you're going to be interacting with this wristwatch. And your wristwatch can listen to your phone and maybe take notifications from your phone, but mostly it's cool because you run special apps on it that do wonderful things and maybe connect through your phone to other services. What I like about Android Wear is that there is such a tight level of intimacy between the watch on your wrist and the phone that's in your pocket, and that's the big payoff. The apps that are written for Android Wear that run really well let you leave the phone in your pocket. As a matter of fact, there really isn't necessarily such a thing as an app for this watch. All there are your podcast catcher app. You upgraded from version 2.4.2 to version 2.4.3, and with that little upgrade, it includes support for this watch, where if you're running your podcatcher app and you notice that, and that app notices that, oh, he's got a Moto 360 on his wrist, so all of a sudden, if I'm listening to podcasts in the car, it will add a little bit of a music player tile to the screen. So I really, really like that. It really fits in with what I think a wearable, how I think a wearable can really help you out. There's so many tasks where you don't need to take the phone out of your pocket. You don't need to unlock it. You don't need to drill down into an app, because all I really want to do is I want to tap it. I want to say, take a note. remember tomorrow that I have to take a picture of that new sign when I get to the Boston Public Library. And it does the text-to-speech immediately, and now I've got an Evernote Evernote stuck there. This would have been, yes, okay, a lazy 15-second operation on my phone, but why do I have to reach into my pockets? People 10 minutes ago were seeing me think, oh, where did I put that phone? Because I got so many pockets, and I'm doing a keynote, and I've got papers everywhere. When it's right here, and all you need is take a note, boy, that works so great. So bottom line is that I think this is the best Android Wear watch that's been released yet. And the other thing is that it's not yet a product that everybody will have a use for. But what I think is that there are a lot of people who are dismissing Android Wear watches because they're thinking, why would I want to have a computer on my wrist? And goodness gracious, isn't that big and ugly and stupid looking? Maybe, but you should really take a look at one before you decide that, because I certainly had skepticism before I tried this watch, and now I'm thinking this is one of the nicest things that I've used in the past 6 months. So, food for thought. They're available in stores at Best Buy, at some Best Buy stores. Maybe while you're getting out there getting a frozen yogurt, if there's a Best Buy nearby and they have one of these Moto 360s, go in and take a look. For Before You Buy, I'm Andy Anatko. Thanks for watching.
Thank you, Andy. I should add, by the way, Andy has had enough time to say that the battery life is all right. We've seen a lot of reviews from The Verge and elsewhere saying the battery life of the Moto 360 doesn't get you through a full day. Andy says it does. That's good news. Andy also got, when he was there in Chicago at the Motorola headquarters, the brand new Motorola X. I thought this was the phone of the year this year. Will the new Moto X live up to the original? Let's find out.
I'm Andy Anatko with the Chicago Sun-Times. This is Before You Buy, and this is the new Motorola Moto X 2014 edition. And I got to say that they've done the one thing that has made me actually want to like this camera, like this phone, because it actually has a decent camera this time. Last year, the original Moto X, so many nice things about it. I was ready to praise it to the skies. I was ready to say, oh, they're doing so many things that are right. And boy, it's a very Apple-like phone and how they think about how the device has to relate to the person and they have a long plan and all this sort of stuff. But the camera was terrible. It was just horrible. It broke my heart. There's no way I could take a decent picture with it. And I have cameras that take are mediocre cameras. Not every camera can be the Nokia 1020 or the iPhone 5S, but the phone that I have, which is neither one of those things, I can at least take a picture, and it won't be the best photo ever on here, but 30 seconds in iPhoto, and it's wonderful. That's fine. I couldn't save anything with the Moto X's original camera. Fortunately, they fixed that in spades. It really does take good pictures now. And now we can get to every other feature of this phone. Is it more powerful than last year's model? Yes, they've upgraded to the same Snapdragon processor you'll find in other models like the Samsung S5. I'm not a big aficionado of faster processors because it's not just did you put better silicon in there, it's does that speed actually present itself to the user. And as I was saying before, the fact that they keep the junk off of the software off this phone, I think, is a better boon for not only speed but battery life than anything else. You might also notice that it's a bigger screen, which is something that everybody seems to do every 2 years. Last year's Moto X was a 4.7-inch screen. This one is 5.2, large enough to make it into a big phone. It's not quite as pocketable as it once was, but if you are watching movies on this, that's a definite plus. And the other thing that I haven't mentioned is that now the front-facing camera has been upgraded. Now it actually takes full 1080p HD video from the front-facing camera. I've been shooting some YouTube videos with this over the past 3 or 4 days, and it's really, really nice. One thing that I'm glad that they kept, though, and this is such a silly thing to point out, is this little dimple in the back there. I would have never guessed before I tried the original Moto X that having a little dimple in the back would change how much you like a phone, but look how easy it is to just tactile orient it in your hand. You don't accidentally have it on upside down. If you need to, like, jog it around in your hand a little bit, you've got this nice little pivot point. If I get the new iPhone 6, I almost want to take it into a machine shop, have a ball peen hammer, just a little tap, just to put a little dent right there, because it's such a wonderful feature. Let's just say that's an aftermarket opportunity for some third-party entrepreneur. There's so many features of this phone, of the Moto X line, that are intangible, of Motorola, because they try to give as pure an Android experience as possible, which means that whereas Samsung might have a much hotter processor, they also load up the phone with so much junk that's stealing CPU cycles that a lot of it just gets burned away in these features that you don't actually use or don't actually need by third-party partners. This is, as you light it up, and it's as close to a stock Android as you can possibly get without spending $600 for a Google Play edition of this device. And the other thing that's nice about this Moto X phone is that it has smart notifications and uses active gestures where if I take this out of my pocket, for instance, the screen lights up a little bit. You probably won't be able to see it, but the fact that it knows it's been taken out of the pocket means that perhaps I should show just the icon of whatever has given Andy a notification since the last time he checked. If I've got this face up on the on a table while I'm eating and the screen is darkened, I can simply wave my hand over it, genie-like, and once again, it won't wake up. It will just simply glow a little bit to show me, okay, it looks like I've got a Twitter notification, and if I want to actually see what it is, I can tap on that thing and stroke down, and it will just simply reveal that one notification, all without my having to figure out whether it's worth my taking it off the table or picking it up and that sort of stuff. I also like the motion gestures they do. I use this all the time. Now that there's a camera worth using, it's great to have this feature where you take it out, you just do this, and it automatically launches the camera app and makes it ready for taking pictures. I really wish, I think that's why last year and this year too, I think of it as the most iPhone-like phone that's out there. Which is not to say that Samsung phones aren't good, which is not to say that other makers aren't good either, but I think Motorola is the only other company that's deciding, let's think this through. Let's think about what the relationship is between this little gadget and the way people use it. Is there something we're not paying attention to? Are we forcing people to tap too many buttons when we can actually save them a lot of trouble? The other nice thing, they've changed the styling a little bit. It's now they say that people were complaining that the original Moto X felt a little bit cheap, so now it has a nice aluminum frame just like the iPhone 5. They've also added, you've always had the ability to customize it with hundreds of different body colors, hundreds of different trim colors. Now they've also added wood and leather to the mix. So this smells like the wallet that my grandmother used to give me every other year for Christmas. The other nice thing is that this is just $99 on contract, which if you compare this to most of the other $99 phones you get out there, it's usually a year old, 2 years old. This is brand new stuff, and it's one of the nicer, not the nicest, but one of the nicer phones I've used. So really, my recommendation has really changed ever since the unveiling of the Moto X. If you asked me what Android phone to buy, I would have to walk you through a whole bunch of decisions because Samsungs, they're nice, but they've got a whole bunch of Samsung-y quirks. And if you've used Samsung devices, you know what I'm talking about. Please don't make me elaborate. HTC has a nice HTC One, but you got to be okay with the idea that it has a very low-resolution camera. Otherwise, it's fabulous. Xperia, also very nice. Really, you have to walk people through. Now I think I finally have a default recommendation for Android phones. I will say if you're interested in Android, get this. It works really great. It's built very well. You'll get updates very, very quickly. And Motorola is a company that I'm convinced really does have a long-range plan for their Android product line, as opposed to just simply wanting to crank out phones. So, again, maybe not necessarily the best phone in the world out there, because, you know, there's still the iPhone 6 out there to contend with, but, boy, it's so great when a phone in one single release stage goes from, there is no way in hell I would visit this upon my worst enemy, to, this is now the phone that I would like to recommend to people if they're not willing to give me more details about how they use phones and what they need. For Before You Buy, I'm Andy Anatko. Thanks for watching.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Thank you, Andy Anatko. I'm very excited about the Moto X. This is a tough fall. We've got some great choices from Apple, from Samsung, from Motorola, from Sony. The good news is you've got a choice in phones. We'll get a full review of the Moto X and Moto 360 when they actually come out later this month. Now, it's time to say hello to Father Robert Ballasaire. He is, of course, the digital Jesuit and the host of Coding 101, Know How, This Week in Enterprise Tech on the Twit Network. And he loves his Acers. We gave him the latest Acer convertible for this review.
You want a laptop, but it has to be light. And you want a touchscreen, but you need a keyboard. And you want Windows. No, real Windows. And you don't want to spend more than $390. That, in a nutshell, is who should look at the Acer Aspire Switch 10 Windows 8 notebook. Our review model was the Switch 10 SW5-11, featuring a 10.1-inch 1366x768 IPS screen with 5-point multi-touch. The screen is driven by a quad-core Intel Atom Z3745 Bay Trail processor running at 1.33 GHz, supported by 2 GB of system memory and a 64 GB SSD. The Switch 10 is a hybrid device, with a detachable screen that connects to its base with a set of clever friction latches and powerful magnets. Hold down the keyboard base and gently pull upwards, and the screen can act as a standalone Windows 8 tablet. Put it back, and it's a traditional notebook. Flip the screen around, and it can tuck the keyboard behind itself. Lift the screen, and it acts as a presentation display. Flip it over, and you're now in tent mode. The Switch 10 is a small and light device. It measures 10.25 inches by 7 inches by 0.35 inches thick and 1.2 pounds heavy, or 2.2 pounds with the keyboard. On the left side of the Switch 10, you'll find a combo audio port, power switch, and volume rocker. On the right side, a micro SD card reader, micro USB port, micro HDMI, and the power port. The right side of the keyboard adds a USB 2.0 port, and along the hinges of the Switch 10 are tucked a set of surprisingly powerful stereo speakers and a Windows 8 action key. For connectivity, the Switch 10 has a dual-band 802.11 ABGN wireless card with Bluetooth 4.0. So that's the tech. The question is, how does it work? As a Windows 8.1 tablet, the Switch 10 is actually great for the price. It handled YouTube, Netflix, and typical web surfing without a hitch. The screen has rich color and deep blacks, though, at times, I wish there was an easy way to turn down the sensitivity on screen rotation so the Switch 10 wasn't always changing orientation. But performance was snappy, and the brushed aluminum backing felt good in my hands. As a laptop, well, it's a mixed bag. Acer includes the Office Home 2013 suite, which makes the Switch 10 ideal for students or those who want a basic email word processing surfing machine. In PC Mark 8, the Switch 10 scored 1,232. Not a great score, but still enough to do most everything that the average user will want to do. The keyboard base is well designed. Unlike other hybrid notebook/tablets, there's enough weight at the front of the base to keep the Switch 10 from constantly turning turtle whenever your hands leave the keyboard. Also helping is the fact that the design makes the back of the base rise when the screen is opened, helping to keep the notebook stable. I wasn't a big fan of the keyboard and trackpad. They're usable, but seem to constantly remind me that I'm working on a budget machine. The keys are cramped, which is to be expected, and mushy, which was not expected. The trackpad is just about average. The 2-cell lithium poly battery is rated for 8 hours of use, but as always, it depends on how you use the notebook. Streaming Netflix over the wireless connection, I killed the battery in just under 5 hours. Surfing the web, I averaged 9 hours. And using the Switch 10 on and off for reference and occasional Twitter trolling, I could go a week without charging. The Acer Aspire Switch 10 is available now for between $300 and $400.
Well, I have to say, I love my Acer Aspire S7. You recommended that. Mary
Yes.
Jo Foley also bought one. We both think they're great laptops, but those are full-size Windows 8 laptops. This is a little smaller and a little bit different. Pros and cons on the Acer Aspire Switch 10.
Well, the pros is I like the flexibility. I need the ability to use tent mode or to, you know, take
Show me that tent mode.
Okay, well, so this is tent mode. So I take this tablet, I take off the screen.
Whoa!
I flip this thing around.
Wow!
Like so. And then I do this,
yeah,
and it will readjust
now,
the screen. So, like, if you're on a plane,
if we got some spooky stories, we could get in the tent.
Absolutely.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, there's like four different modes. There's
notebook mode, for watching movies.
Tablet mode,
yep.
Right. It's nice to have that in such a low price point product.
Right.
The other thing I like about it is the price. I mean, $300 to $400. This really is a sort of a back to school special, something that you can have that's pretty decently powered for the price, and yet you're not worried about destroying it.
I have to say, it's netbook price, but it feels better than a netbook. It feels pretty solid, nice-looking screen.
And it's far more stable than the other convertibles. So my favorite has been the ASUS Transformer.
Yeah.
It's a tablet that you can put onto a laptop docking station. But unlike the Transformer, this thing will actually stay up on the base. The base is weighted enough in the front that you can get down to like 60, 75 degrees before it starts to tip back.
It actually feels like a solid laptop.
Yeah, yeah. Now, on the cons, it's a $400, $300 device, so you're going to have some build issues. The biggest thing is the keyboard and the trackpad. It's substandard. I mean, let me be honest about that. If you're typing a lot, you're probably going to want to get an external keyboard just because it's so mushy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want something that could be a tablet and at the same time can be you know, a full-featured Windows 8 device, like, for example, I'm running my Channelizer on this. This is a
show this, Chad. This is kind of cool.
This is a
program. So you're using it as a tablet.
Right. I'm using it as a tablet, but right now it's showing me all of the RF energy inside the Brickhouse Studio. This is something you cannot do on a tablet. You need a laptop to do this. But because this runs full Windows 8, it's going to be able to run software like this, and that's always a good thing.
So pros, it's nice for the price, but cons, it's as with anything at that price, it's got a little, there's some sacrifices.
Exactly.
Would you buy it? Try it?
I would actually give this a buy. If you compare this to something like the Acer S7, you're going to be disappointed. But
the Acer S7 is four times more. Yeah, right, exactly.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So if you are looking for something, say, back to school for a student, if you want full Windows 8, not some funky Windows RT device.
This is pretty good.
This is a buy.
Now, you said Acer was getting out of the low-end market. Are they going to abandon this, or is this something they want to keep around?
I think this is a differentiated device. So they want to go high-end for the devices like laptops, where you can have something elegant.
Right.
But this is a niche product, and they kind of like niche.
I like it.
I think they'll stay with
it. At Chromebook prices, but Windows 8 features.
Absolutely.
I think that's a pretty good deal. Thank you. Father Robert Ballester, the host of This Week in Enterprise Tech, Know-How and Coding 101. He does a lot of work for us, and we're really glad you're here and part of our Brickhouse studio. Thank you, Robert. Let us know how you're doing with the Y-Spy. Actually, that's coming up later, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Another review item. Right now, though, let's take a walk across to Chad. He's running the board. Should I just walk over there?
Yeah, just mosey on over here.
Mosey on over.
And I'll say hi to you once you get over here.
Chad Johnson is, of course, the host of OMG Craft and the Giz Whiz, the new show Reddit Up.
Yeah, OMG Craft will be a Microsoft show soon.
Did you hear that?
Now,
that's just a rumor. Wall Street Journal is saying that Mojang has been purchased by Microsoft for $2 billion.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
You came to me and you offered me $2 billion for a 40-person company. I'd take it.
Yeah, I think, and I believe Notch might be the sole owner of that company. I'm not sure if they have investors or anyone.
Nice.
Yeah, would be very
nice. Right. He's not suffering.
Yeah.
So we gave you something called the Rocky.
The Rocky is this little device here that that has two ports on it. It has a micro USB that's solely for charging.
Let me guess. This is a palm cooler?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You got it right.
No,
you know,
it's a speaker.
It's actually a palm warmer. Sorry. No. It actually does get fairly warm, which is very interesting. It's not a speaker at all.
No. Okay.
What this is my original thought was that it was a Bluetooth device too, but it's not that either. The idea behind the Rocky is that it is a Wi-Fi system. So a lot like AirPlay, you can now send music to one of these and then have it plugged in just via normal
So there's
connector.
No speaker on it. It's a receiver.
It's a receiver
a Bluetooth
only.
Receiver that you would then plug into your power.
It's not Bluetooth.
System. Or it's not Bluetooth. It's Wi-Fi.
It's Wi-Fi.
So you have to have a Wi-Fi network and be on a Wi-Fi network.
Yes, you have to be connected to a Wi-Fi network.
So you can't use it at the beach, for instance.
No, you can't. It does have a standalone mode where I think you could actually use it at the beach, where you could set this to connect directly to it because it's Wi-Fi.
The beach doesn't make a lot of sense because you could put the phone right next to the speaker at the beach. This is for where you want the phone in your pocket.
Around the house.
And you wander around and the speaker system
And because it's Wi-Fi, you can connect. You can add multiple to your system. So I could have three of these on my home network, and it's much easier within the app to choose.
So it's like kind of a mini Sonos system.
Exactly. Let me make sure I'm on the... No, I am. So, it's not turned on. So let's go ahead and turn on...
So these are battery-powered, the Rockies.
Yep, they're battery-powered.
You have to charge them via USB?
Correct. And there we go. And there's a tiny little green LED that'll turn on.
They come in cute colors too.
They do. Like so
candies.
These are all just silicon shells. So you can.
Oh, the Rocky itself is just inside.
The Rocky is inside of here, underneath this shell.
That's clever.
Yeah, which is kind of
connected to your Wi-Fi router.
So
yeah, I hear it.
I hear it. It's pretty loud.
It sounds good, but that's the speaker, which is not part of the system.
Right.
The Rocky is for
now,
existing
the Rocky
powered
was
speakers.
The one who said that. Rocky said, "I've successfully connected to your Wi-Fi system." So. It does have voice activation, so now that it's connected, I can choose which Rocky I want. If I had multiple, I could switch between them.
If I play them all, can I play them all at once in a party mode, or can I only play one at a time?
I did not see a way to link these, but I also only had one, so...
Well, it kind of makes sense because because the issue on doing that is latency. And if they're not exactly in sync, it's going to sound like you've got this echoey system all around you.
Right. So
you could probably choose one at any time.
Yes.
How much is that?
So this is a $50 thing.
So you could, it's a lot cheaper than Sonos. If you had a stereo, in your stereo, you have a bathroom speaker.
Right. And especially if you have an older system that maybe you've invested a lot of money in with really nice speakers, and you want some way that to have your smartphone connect into that.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to say that there's a lot of cons with this, and mostly with the app. The app is really, really bad. I use it on Android, so let me go ahead and just close it out so you get the experience from when you start. When you start it up, it looks like this, and it has this little home button. It's kind of confusing because you think, well, Rocky, let's go ahead and click it.
Right. Nope.
So they've, for some stupid reason,
that goes home.
They have associated this with the Android back button.
That makes no sense.
Which sort of makes sense if you got to the front screen from somewhere else in the app somehow. Search is kind of really prevalent. And then there's these panels down here. There's only two.
Pictures.
And the second one is really pixel, is really ugly.
Yeah.
What you actually have to click on this screen is the Rocky Me Now, which is literally the smallest button on the home screen. So you
Rocky
go ahead and click that.
Well, you'll learn that quickly.
Right. Because it's a third-party app, you need to have almost all your music on the device. It only works with two streaming services, SoundCloud and Last.fm at the moment.
So wait a minute. Rocky is the thing playing the music back.
Yes. This
is why this app is important.
Yeah, this is a very important app. You have to live in the app. Unless if you're on an iOS device and you can AirPlay to this, the Rocky.
AirPlay.
It will take AirPlay.
Okay.
But for me, I was on Android.
Right.
So that was kind of a big, big bummer. They promise Spotify or there's another service in the future. But like SoundCloud, you click in, you have to log in.
Yeah,
so let me go ahead and do that.
Do that somewhere else.
But you can see like when I log into SoundCloud here, the option that I have is to import my playlists and tracks. And this is like another feature that this should have gone away. Why is my keyboard still here? Get that out of here. Go ahead and hit import. And then it says in an Android notification at the bottom, not a pull down notification, but an on-screen notification that it will have imported my stuff.
Yeah.
But where is it? The next thing that you probably would do is hit this button, which is log out.
Yeah.
If you go back, let me try.
Go back to Rocky.
So I go to artists. There's none of my SoundCloud artists are in here. This is only the artists that are on the device.
The software is very rough.
Oh, it's incredibly rough. Yeah. So if I actually find something from my SoundCloud, I know for a fact that this is part of it. If I click play, I do have the correct. Oh, no, it switched to the Nexus 7. So let's choose the correct device. Go ahead and click it to play it.
I kind of get the idea.
The app is horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
It's playing it through your phone now, not
yes,
through
the it's playing it through my phone. I mean, that might have been my fault because I didn't select this. I try to choose play. It gets to about 4 seconds and then it'll just stop.
Pros and cons.
The pros is that it's inexpensive. It's $50
per unit.
It's Wi-Fi, which kind of has some cons because it's latent. There's a lot of latency with Wi-Fi. So it'll have to buffer.
Right.
It'll be about 4 seconds before anything starts playing. But the pro is that it could happen anywhere in your house. It's not tied down to Bluetooth.
It's one of the few ways I know that you could send your sound via Wi-Fi to a stereo system.
And the final pro is that it is AirPlay compatible if you have an iOS device.
$50, buy, try, don't buy.
Well, my cons.
Oh, you didn't even do the cons.
I didn't even do the cons. So, incredibly buggy app. SoundCloud support just doesn't really work all that well. The fact that there's tons of little bugs, like you can't drag tracks around. If you drag them above to the top of the screen where you'd expect it to keep scrolling past, it just stops. You have to let go, scroll, pick it up, and move it again. It took me about 45 minutes to set this up at my house.
Okay.
Me.
That's frustrating.
So, buy, try, don't buy. This is a don't buy.
Yeah, I think so.
Unfortunately, it's not. It feels.
Unless you have to have a Wi-Fi enabler on your speaker, not Bluetooth, because there's lots of those Wi-Fi enabled.
Unless if this really fills your niche. I mean, for me, at best, it felt like a hack. At worst, it was incredibly frustrating.
Was it a Kickstarter?
Was a Kickstarter.
It was. Right. So maybe in next generation will be a little bit better.
Hopefully.
That's the Rocky, R-O-C-K-I, Wi-Fi adapter for sound. Don't buy, sad to say, from Chad. Thank you, Chad.
No problem.
OMG Craft. Woo-hoo. Soon to be by Microjang.
By Microjang.
Or is it Mosoft? I'm not sure.
It could be Mojsoft.
And, of course, Reddit Up, which is every... What day are you doing that?
We do that on Thursdays.
So
yep.
We'll make sure we
No, Wednesdays.
That.
And then we do...
Tomorrow.
Yeah, we do that tomorrow, and then Gizwiz on Thursdays.
All right. Rock on.
Woo-hoo!
That's how the kids do it. I'm going to
push you out of here. Get the heck
strong.
Out of here.
You are a strong guy. I'm going to walk back... over here as we continue on with should I do the shaving thing and then we'll introduce our newest reviewer? You think would that be a good time to shave? Is this a good time to shave or after Joanne Tech Lover? All right, I just want to show you my Harry's. See that? What, even when I say that it sounds kind of funny. I mean my Harry's shaving kit. I love Harry's. Now here's the deal. Harry's is a great shave at a fraction of the price. If you go to the drugstore and you want to buy those big brand name products, Harry's is a fraction of that. Plus, they'll come to your door, delivered to your door every other month. The Harry's shave cream is second to none. I would just say if you don't get the Harry's shave kit, get the shave cream. I shave with it every day. I have been using Harry's about 3 months now and have yet to cut myself. And by the way, this is a small tube. You feel like, oh, that's not going to last very long. It's lasted me a month because you don't use much of the Harry's shave cream. It's just a really nice shave cream with marula oil in it. It softens your beard perfectly. And then the pièce de résistance, the Harry's blade, which is made in their own factory in Germany. Harry's, the guy who started Harry's, actually was the same guy who started Warby Parker. He did research before he started the company. He found out there are really only two companies in the world that can make a great razor blade, and they're both in Germany. So he went and he bought the company. He bought the company. All right, I'm going to shave now. You ready? You ready? Here we go. This is such a good blade. That's the other thing I was thinking. I was thinking that this morning. I don't shave as much as I used to because... And by the way, a lot of people say, oh, he's not really... No, that's a blade, five-blade razor, beautiful German steel. I don't shave as much because I get such a close shave with Harry's. Look at that, no water, just the Harry's shave cream. Here's what I want you to do. Go to Harry's, HARRYS.com, while I finish shaving, and pick out a kit. You got your Truman kit, you got your Winston kit. The Winston, which this is, can be monogrammed as well. It's a great gift for the dads in your family or anybody who shaves, frankly. And I think they're going to love it. And then you can get your razors and your blades delivered twice a month from Harry's at a very reasonable price. In fact, we're going to make it more reasonable. If you visit harrys.com and use the offer code before you buy, you're going to save $5 off your first order at harrys.com. There's the Winston set, $25. You get two blades, the shave cream, and, of course, this beautiful handle. I'm just a big fan. I know you will be, too. HARRYS, harrys.com. Get your kit delivered, and then every other month, blades and cream at a very affordable price. A great gift, too, by the way. harrys.com. Good birthday present. Graduation gift. All right. We have, I've been watching for some time this next reviewer. Joanne Tech Lover is a reviewer. You might have seen her on Newegg. She's been doing reviews on YouTube. I really think she's great. So we thought she's a gamer. We'd throw the Zabbius Genius gaming headset at her. Well, not actually at her, but towards, in her direction, and ask her for a review. Here's what we got.
Hi, everyone. I'm Joanne for Twit.tv, and today I'll be covering this Genius GX Gaming Zabbius M gaming earphones. Here's what you get in the box. You get a user guide, of course, as well as this handy carrying case. So it's cloth and hard shell. Now let's take a look inside. Not only can you place your earphones in there, you can also put in there these things. So let's see what you get. You get two additional ear cushions for different size ears, large and medium. You also get this adapter in case you want to plug your earphones into a notebook or your desktop PC. So you have one for headphone and one for mic. And mic is pink, headphone is green. And do like that they color-coded it for you, but in general, that's what the colors are. And let's see what else you get. You get a carabiner. Look at that. Oh, I don't see these very often, but this could be very handy. Although I would probably invest in something a lot more sturdy than this if you were carrying around your earphones. And now for some headphone specs. So you get 13mm neodymium magnet drivers inside of these little earbuds, hard to fit in there. And the standard is like, what, 8mm, 10mm. So these are pretty good, especially for like the $35 price tag. And also you get 100 decibel sensitivity as well as 16 ohms impedance and frequency response of 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. And now for some mic specs. You get an omnidirectional mic and you get a sensitivity of negative 42 decibels and frequency response of 100 hertz to 10,000 hertz as well as an impedance of 2.2k ohms. And now for pros and cons. So what do I like about this? I do like the sound quality, of course. You get some good mids and highs. The bass could use a little work, but these are tiny little drivers in these tiny little earbuds. So for what they are, they do a pretty good job. And as for the phone calls, that would be another pro is that on the other end, you know, my friend was like, yeah, it sounds great. You know, you're clear, you're loud. I didn't hear any kind of distortion, so that is a plus. And what else? I do like the tangle-free cord. I love these flat cords. I mean, they're awesome. Easy to pack away and all that. And also like that you do get some extras with this. I mean, because I don't think every pair of earphones or slash headset has these, an adapter for your PC, an extra set of ear cushions. Okay, maybe that is more common. But, and a carabiner clip. This is one of the few first, I guess, for earphones. So that's it. And as for cons, it didn't sound too great when I was gaming on using TeamSpeak. And it was just, you know, it wasn't muddled on my end or anything. But on the other end, it was just, you know, in and out. The audio was cutting in and out. And that's not like ideal for gaming. But I guess if you had nothing else, this could work. Because I know how expensive headsets can get, gaming headsets with the integrated mic. Not integrated, I'm sorry. The detachable, you know, big mic. And so, I mean, those can range up to like 200. So for $35, I would say this is pretty decent. Now, these earphones or headset, it's advertised as gaming. So for sound quality, it's great, but mic, not so great. So I would say if you are just buying this for sound, I mean, the price is great, by the way, then that would be a buy. But I would probably say don't buy if it's for gaming. So there you have it. That wraps it up for this video on this Genius GX Gaming Sabius M headset. I would call it earphones, but anyway. Once again, this has been Joanne for twit.tv.
Thank you, Joanne, tech lover, and do not buy on the Sabius. We're going to see a lot more of her. I think she's really great on Before You Buy. Now, we're going to wrap things up with a, not exactly a full review, an update on a camera that Russell and I reviewed. Russell Tammany, our IT guy, and I reviewed a while ago. That this is a really interesting story. You know, for years, the pros have been shooting with Nikon, Canon. Maybe if they had a lot of money, they'd be shooting with a Leica camera. The problem with those big DSLR cameras, they're literally big and heavy. And many of us, including some pros like my friend Trey Ratcliffe, have been very interested in the mirrorless camera systems. For a while, I've been playing with the Micro Four Thirds and even some APS-C sensor mirrorless camera systems. The lack of a mirror, the lack of a prism means that they're smaller, more compact, more lightweight. But then along comes Sony and really shakes everything up with their A7 series. These are full-frame mirrorless cameras. In fact, if I take the lens off, you can see that's the sensor right there. It's a 35mm sensor. And it because it's mirrorless, it's going to you're going to not have that big prism that has to be moved out of the way. That saves on size, on bulk, and on weight. So you get a much more compact camera. The negative on the mirrorless systems is the through the viewfinder view is not an actual optical view, but is a view through a camera that is tapped into the lens. I'm used to it now, and this is the first thing that you kind of have to get used to. So Sony came out with the A7R. We did a review of the A7R. We liked it a lot, but it was a quirky camera. Very happy with the pictures we were getting. Not quite so happy with the limited selection of lenses and kind of the odd and difficult to use control system. Sony has followed up on the A7R with a even more expensive, this is $2,500 for the body only, A7S, and has taken that 36 megapixel, beautiful, high res, full frame sensor, and dumbed it down to 12 megapixels. What? How could that be? Well, by making fewer pixels on the same size sensor, those pixels are larger, and this camera has amazing low-light performance. It's also more than enough pixels to shoot 4K video at 60 frames a second. This camera will do that with an external recorder. If you're recording internally, it'll do very nice HD video. I've taken some sample photos. You know, these are quick and dirty photos, and posted them on Flickr, flickr.com/Leoville. Just do a slideshow, if you will, Chad, of all of the images. These are JPEGs from the original RAW photos. I processed them with Lightroom. And I just have to say, there's a little grain here. This is in a dark restaurant in low light, no flash, no additional light. And just the image quality is superb. I'm just very, very happy. I think you will be, too. Again, if you want to see my images, flickr.com/Leoville. I'll be putting more up there as time goes by. And they fixed some of the quirky controls. Still lots of dials. I mean, this is one of the things you're seeing with these mirrorless cameras, is kind of almost a retro feel to the body. This feels like, you know, a small, very high-quality camera. My friend Trey took this to Burning Man this year. Using a Metabones adapter, he was able to use his Leica lenses. Now, I have to tell you, Trey is a landscape photographer. So the slow focus of using a, in fact, it's really manual focus using these third-party lenses with adapters doesn't bother him. The land's not moving around a lot. This would be a less desirable choice for somebody who's shooting a people or anything that's moving around. I got to say, having used this now, this is the camera for me. This, I'm abandoning my 5D. I'm abandoning all my other cameras, my Micro Four Thirds, even the A7R. I'm going to have to give that to Lisa because this camera, they've smoothed out the rough edges. The image quality, even at 12 megapixels, is superb, and I love the low-light capability. A couple of things that they've added, Russell and I complained about the very loud chunking sound every time you take a picture with the A7R. It feels like the camera's actually shaking, and some people have even complained that you have to shoot at 180th of a second because of camera shake. This camera has a silent mode, and I'm shooting right now, and you wouldn't even know. This is, let me point it this way so you can see. It's absolutely silent, and you see how fast it is as well. The silence of this camera, this is the 35-millimeter lens, makes this an incredible street shooter. Set this at f8, and you can go anywhere, and nobody's going to think you've got a big pro camera, but you've got a full-frame sensor and incredible image quality, even in very low light. There's some graininess past, say, 6400 ISO, but it'll go up much, much higher. And if you can deal with the grain, and sometimes grain in a, you know, street photography, that's not so bad. Just the images look great. Unfortunately, still a limited choice of lenses. Sony really only has four. This is the f2.8-35. My favorite is this 55mm f1.8. Both of these are Zeiss lenses. Sony also has a couple of zooms. Optical quality on those, not great. This f55.1.8, incredible optical quality. This 35mm, incredible optical quality. For a camera aficionado or a street shooter, someone who wants to get great images without carrying around a big, heavy camera, this is incredible. Let me give you the pros and cons. The full-frame sensor is among the best. In fact, Sony makes sensors for the Nikon D800E, a lot of cameras, and many camera phones. They know how to make sensors. It's a really beautiful sensor. 12 megapixels, sure, if you're making giant blow-ups, that may be not enough. But for almost everything I do, and probably for what you do, 12 megapixels is more than enough, and it makes up for it with incredible low-light performance. You can shoot almost anywhere with this camera. The video's really good, too, and if you're willing to use an external recorder, 422 video at 4K, this is incredible. In fact, I know Chevrolet used this camera with some professional lenses and professional equipment to shoot a Chevy commercial. So this is a great camera for video. And finally, I love the silent shooting mode. With this 35mm lens, this compact camera is a great street shooter, by which I mean walking down the street. getting surreptitious pictures of people without their knowledge. I mean, just candid shots. It does have an articulating LCD, which can go both up and down. That also helps because you can shoot like this, like you have a Rolly, and get great images from the camera very surreptitiously. The cons on this, of course, the price, $2,500, is a lot of money to pay. But remember, it's a full-frame camera, a full-frame sensor. And I'm afraid the limited lens selection is a bit of a negative for people who would like more capability. The good news is Sony's roadmap for these FE lenses, that's the lenses that they use on this camera, is really good. It looks like they're going to have some excellent lenses. And the ones that are available, particularly this 55mm, are as good as any lenses on the market today. Plus, with a MetaBones adapter, you can use your Leica lenses, your Canon lenses, your Nikon lenses. Slow manual focus, but still a great image quality. So a definite buy if you're a camera junkie and you know you need it. This is the camera for you. I'm just very happy. This is the Sony, the brand new one, the A7S, $2,500. I didn't mention, but like the A7R, and you should go back to the A7R review for all the additional features. This has Wi-Fi built in, the ability to upload directly to Facebook and other sites, things like that. You can download apps from Sony. So there's a lot more to this camera that I'm not mentioning, but all of those details are in the A7R review that Russell Tammany and I did a few months ago. Thank you for watching this show. That wraps it up. I want to thank our reviewers, Father Robert, Chad, our newest reviewer, Joanne Tech Lover. Great to have them on here. We do Before You Buy every Tuesday afternoon, right after Security Now and right before All About Android. I hope you'll tune in and watch live. If you have some comments, suggestions, or items you'd like us to review, email us, byb@twit.tv. You'll find this show on YouTube, especially a good place to go because we take each individual review, chop them up, and put them up on YouTube if you want to share them with friends and family who are interested in a particular product. That's youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. Of course, the full show is there as well as on our website, twit.tv/BYB, and wherever the best video shows are aggregated, like your iTunes, your Xbox Music, places like that. Thanks for joining me. I'll see you next time. And remember, you got to watch before you buy. Take care.